Welcome to episode 92 of the Rugby League Republic podcast with your host Tish and Dr. T. In this episode, we review State of Origin Game 2. Join us as we build a rugby league community for all. The Rugby League Republic podcast starts right now. All right, welcome to episode 92 of the Rugby League Republic podcast, where we aim to build an online rugby league community for everyone. Each week we bring you the everyday fans' perspective on the biggest news and issues in the world of rugby league, and we break it all down for you in our own unique way. I am your co-host, Dr. T. Joining me, Tish. How are you going, mate?
Dr. T, I am over the moon. Fantastic. Weekend of rugby league, representative round, representative rugby league, some big international games, the very first women's State of Origin, and of course, game 2 2018 State of Origin. Fantastic. So I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing there, Dr. T?
Look, similar to you, I'm coming down off a high. In fact, I'm actually coming down with something. I'm not just coming down off a high of rugby league. I'm actually, so apologies if I cough a little bit and splutter. I'll do my best not to let that bother you or us. But yeah, the representative round of rugby league was superb in every way. In every way there was drama. There was high quality. There was a fairy tale here and there. There was did I say drama?
I think drama, controversy.
Drama. There was drama. There was controversy.
There was a sin bin.
There was salty tears from Queenslanders. It was perfect. It had a bit of everything.
It basically did. Like, I can't think of anything else that it couldn't do. And it's, you know, it was like, I think it was the best showcase of rugby league. It's probably the best weekend of rugby league this year. In terms of promoting the game, because I think it went well. Look, to be fair, like around the office, don't have too many rugby league fans in my office. But to be honest, they were all talking about State of Origin 2. There's other great sporting events that are on in the world at the moment. And somehow State of Origin gets the shining light. And I think it just came down to an absolutely blockbuster of a game. And a lot of people actually even talking about the Samoa and Tonga game. First of a time, that Pacific Test has actually been on free-to-air television on a major network. And I think a lot of people caught that game, actually, and were surprised at just how good these teams are and how passionate that game was. So really, really good stuff, and plus the women. So, look, I think it's just been a great sort of advertisement. I don't know how to say the word, but it's
advert
for rugby league. So I think we need to keep doing this, but that's we could talk about that a bit later. But maybe we should go through the results and see what actually turned out on the weekend.
Yeah, that's right. So Friday night was the first one, which was, you know, a momentous occasion. The first women's State of Origin clash was won by New South Wales 16 points to 10. Again, it was live. I believe it was live on free-to-air TV, which was a huge deal. And, first of all, congratulations to the Blues. Or I don't know if they've got a different name, but, the Blue Women. You know, whatever. Not to be confused with the Blue Women from Avatar, the film. The Blues, we won, which was a good omen for the Blues throughout the weekend. We'll talk about that later, of course. But, you know, one thing I've got to say, it not only was a good advertisement for rugby league, for women's rugby league, it was an amazing advertisement, I think, that whole game for rugby league in general. I do scour social media sometimes, Tish, to look at the comments, and yeah, they're the usual comments, from some sexist people talking about, when's a real game happening, all that kind of stuff. But I've got to tell you, I got to tell you, those comments were absolutely in the minority, you know, like 1%.
Awesome.
There's always one idiot, but I tell you what, the majority, and I'm talking, you know, 9 out of 10 comments were about how good a quality game it was, how fast-paced it was, how exciting it was, how close it was, how much it is. It was like a real Origin match that we're used to. And that, to me, is the perfect advertisement for rugby league in general, but especially for women's rugby league. These ladies, these women, played their hearts out. They did themselves proud. They did their states proud. And they did rugby league proud because, you know, the fact that it was the first ever, you know, you would expect a bit of, you know, a bit of nerves on the big stage. But no, there was some really great big hits. There was some really excellent quality skilled play.
Absolutely. It was a tight game as well.
It was a tight game and it was exciting. And of course, it's always good when the Blues win. And it's especially good when the Queenslanders lose. So, yeah, but that was my view on that. What are your thoughts on that game? Did you catch it?
Yes, look, I didn't did I catch all of it? I probably didn't catch all of it, but what I did catch was really a great game, and it was great to see. Firstly, I think North Sydney Oval was a perfect oval for it. There was an audience that filled the stadium up. You know, it didn't look like, you know, sort of park football out in the empty, it looked like an event to go to sort of thing, and which was good. So having that atmosphere around the game was fantastic. The actual skill level was very, very good. The hits were fantastic. Look, it was just a great advertisement for women's rugby league, and it's good to see the women sharing the spotlight. And I think that, you know, with the women's competition coming up, yes, rugby league might be a little bit behind some other sports when it comes to the women's version of the game. But I think this is a big step forward, and I think that down the track, it's you know, let's have the rivalry, rivalry and the interest level is on par with what the men are at the moment, and I think that eventually we'll get there. I think that you just got to, you know, start where you're at and sort of build, and I think it will build from next year. Obviously, next year Queensland would want to, you know, win it back. So if, you know, we do the next game in Queensland, well, are they doing another game this year? I'm not even too sure.
No, it's just a one-off this year, and I think there's talk about it turning into a three-game series, which of course this is what happened with the men's game in the 80s. It started off with a one-off until they felt that they had enough interest, and then they turned it into a three-game series. I could say straight away the NRL needs to turn this into a three-game series without question, because the Queenslanders, I mean, if you want drama, you know, the nature, the way they want it, you know, Queenslanders will be looking for revenge, and you can't give them another opportunity in this year. So, you know, make it a three-game series. Make it as meaningful as a men's one in terms of the ability to bounce back. That's what you want. That's why you need three games. It just adds to the drama. And I think this is a baby step. It's a first step. Next year, no doubt, they'll be considering very carefully whether to go to three games, and I think they should.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, so then, look, let's move on. So the other two games on Saturday, under the banner of Pacific Test, played out in Campbelltown Stadium, a double header. Full stadium. Started off with the Melanesian Cup, which is the PNG versus Fiji. Remembering the Fijians made the semi-finals of the World Cup last year, and unfortunately, they were entitled to be favourites in this game, and they had a few interesting sort of positional changes. Jared Hayne at halfback, and a few other things here and there. A few probably injuries here and there, but I don't know if they put out their best squad, and it showed because PNG ran all over them, eventually winning 26-14. I didn't catch all of the game, but PNG, again, it's another indication of the quality of players coming out of that place, and they're going to stake their claim even further for an NRL side in the near future on the back of the Hunters' success in the Queensland Cup. Tish, what are your thoughts on the Fijians' loss against PNG?
Yeah, look, a surprise, a shock, an upset, but you know what? International Rugby League needs that because, you know, too many of the actual results, in International Rugby League in the past have been very predictable. So the fact that PNG were able to beat, the Fijians, who have lots of NRL talent, the PNG not as much, but what it did show was that, you know, PNG were much sort of, the way I saw it is that they were better as a team. They played for themselves. They played together a lot more from the footage that I did see. I think the Fijians were a little disjointed. Maybe there's positional changes. Maybe there is some players that need to be moved on. You know, there was a new coach and Matt Adamson as well. So I think, I think PNG are seeing the benefits of having a Queensland Cup side. If Fiji can get that similar sort of thing happening at the New South Wales Premiership level, or, you know, if that's not going to work, maybe if the Queensland Cup could accept a Fijian team, something like that, I think, is what is going to drive Fijian rugby league forward. And let's hope they do that. So, look great. But I think, it is good to have a double header, and it's great value for money for people out there. But that was kind of the first of the two Pacific Islander matches. But I think it was just a little disappointing that it was a bit too lopsided. And let's hope when these two teams play again, it will be a bit of a contest and we'll see more great tries and we'll actually see a nail-biting finish to this.
Yeah, well, ironically, if the lopsidedness was more in the second game, which was the Polynesian Cup, which is against which is Samoa versus Tonga, and of course, most of the crowd, at least from the television, broadcast, most of the crowd was covered in a sea of red, for which was Tonga. So they had a huge Tongan contingent there. There was a sea of blue as well for Samoa. But this was the main game, if you were to call it that. A lot more interest in this game than the other game. But look, Tonga got off to a flying start, and in the first half, like, basically crushed Samoa. However, Samoa fought back very bravely, falling short 38-22. Had they sort of got their act together before halftime, they probably would have been a nail-biting finish. But as it turns out, the score was never really in doubt, or the result was never really in doubt. Tonga just showed that they have class all over the place. It looked like they didn't miss a beat. In fact, if the World Cup were to be played again, in the same games, they might have even given England another go again, and possibly got reached the final. That's how good they played in the first half. They just started off in another gear completely to Samoa. Well-deserved victory, again showing their true fans here in Sydney and Australia that they mean business. NRL quality players. Tamalolo had a blinder. A lot of players had a blinder. And did you catch this match? And what did you think about the Tongans? Did they really? I thought they kind of took their foot off the pedal a little bit. Mm. They could have completely crushed Samoa, and I think they went easy on them in the second half, but I think they're just a class above them at the moment.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Look, firstly, I think we didn't talk about this in the game, but it was a doubleheader, and there was actually 17,800 fans, something like that, at Campbelltown Stadium, and it looked packed. It was a great spectacle to see it on television, and as you said, the sea of blue, the sea of red, it was, something fantastic. You could certainly see the passion, when they're going through the anthems. You could see the rivalry. You could see sort of the intensity. And how much it meant for both the players. Then we had the dueling war dances and the war cries, and the way they did it is that I think the Samoans started off, and then so as the Samoans start theirs, then the Tongans will then do their bit, and then they were going back and forth, and the crowd, it was just great to watch, and the crowd is just getting louder and louder, the war cry is getting more and more intense, and the actual game itself was, lots of big hits, just about everything got cheered. That's how passionate, and that's, it was just a great atmosphere. then what did you see? You saw you did see the class of Tonga and how much they're ahead of the Samoans, and probably from that matter, probably they're a step above PNG, and I think they're a step above the Fijians at the moment. They certainly are I think they're in my book. I think they're the number three team in the world at the moment. I think they could challenge England. I think they could challenge Australia even. They have enough talent to go all the way, and they're certainly showing that. And I think International Rugby League. I think at the end of the year we need to see the Tongans start to play England, Australia, New Zealand a bit more regularly, because I think they've certainly, I think they're the team that's turning the top three into the top four, and it's going to be great to watch. So that was good. Look, Samoa, they were a little disappointing in last year's World Cup. They did score some tries sort of towards the end and in the second half. So I think that, there was a bit of an improvement there and so forth. It was good to see Anthony Milford having a jersey. I think they had a couple of other debutants as well. So I just think that Samoa just need to develop a little further. But again, more and more Samoan sort of eligible players are playing in the NRL. And who's to say what's going to happen in 5 years' time? Maybe what's happening with Tonga may happen with Samoa and Fijian too. So, look, great advertisement Saturday night for rugby league. Probably these two test matches were probably the best two test matches played internationally, in this round. But there was another one that was quite exciting. Tell us about that one, Dr. T.
I don't know much about it except England. England and New Zealand played, neither of them played at home. They played in Denver, Colorado.
Wow.
What's it called? Mile High Stadium or Mile Something Stadium, 10 Mile Stadium. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
Thousand Smile Stadium, or is that the one at Townsville? I don't know.
Okay.
but a good crowd, 17 or so thousand, I think, also went to that game. Bit of a pioneering game, for a first international game held in the United States. Not involving the United States, of course. And England, as expected, 36-18 winners. New Zealand, who went out in straight sets last year in the World Cup, not really expected to challenge much. Although with Michael Maguire there as the new coach, probably expectations have been rising a little bit in terms of New Zealand's hopes in the near future. But England are just on fire. They remembering that a full strength Australian team only could kept the English side at 6-0 in the World Cup final, which was a very close and entertaining and high quality game. Now with the retirement, as we've seen with the Blues, with the retirement of Thurston and Kronk and Smith from the Kangaroos lineup, I would say England are in line to be possibly favourites to be the number one team in the world. So, and they certainly didn't put a foot wrong. So I think that to me is a summation of where they're at the moment. A good spectacle, a good crowd. It remains to be seen what they do to sustain that and capitalise on that. Tish, I don't know if you want to add anything to that particular summation.
Okay, well, I was going to say it was 19,000.
Oh, 19, sorry.
No, 19,000 in a 76,000 seat stadium. But they have broken the that doesn't sound too great, and it probably didn't look the best on television either, but it is actually, according to Wikipedia, the largest rugby league attended match in the USA. So, I mean, that's a good effort, and I think that shouldn't be taken away from him. Hopefully they could sort of build upon this a little bit. I heard that the actual match wasn't organised by the International Rugby League, but more out of a promoter who sort of made it all happen. And let's hope that the administrators can get behind this a little bit, so we can see a rugby league grow in places like the USA. So, but look, well done to both teams. And look, I think England, I think you're right. England, Tonga, that would be a great match. England, Australia, that would be a great match. England, Tonga and Australia. So I think, hopefully at the end of the season, I don't know what the lineups are at the moment, but I really hope these three teams can certainly play. And, you know, and from a New Zealand point of view, I think, yeah, there's some building that Maguire will have to do, and let's hope they do that. So, yeah.
All right.
There we go. That's the round. Oh, are we forgetting something?
I'm sure we forgot something. Oh, of course. The main event, at least for those of us in Sydney, the Blues against the Maroons Sunday night. A Sunday night origin. What? Yes, that's right. You heard me correctly. Sunday night origin. I think it was the first they've ever done it. Not the first on the weekend, but the first on a Sunday night. It felt really weird because there's something to be said about the Wednesday night origin. You know, hump day, middle of the week, you get excited about it, talking about it with a few people at work. And then you watch it, and then the rest of the week is talking about it. So it's a full week of Origin. Whereas this time around, having it on Sunday night felt a bit weird. It just kind of snuck up on us a little bit. And then it's kind of, I don't know, I'm not sold on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening as an Origin kind of time slot. Purely because, you know, it feels like you're kind of winding down your weekend, thinking about your work week. And it's not, I don't know, the mood wasn't quite right. You know, I don't know how it was like in your household or in your mind, but Tish, but, I felt it was really weird. But anyway, despite that, it was a cracker of a game, high quality game. It was, you know, Gus and some of the other people in the commentary called it, you know, it wouldn't be the best Origin that we've seen, but it'll be up there. It's one of the classics because it was high-quality game, lots of drama. It ended up with New South Wales winning the series, 18-14, in a tight one. A lot of drama. You know, Queensland started off very well, peppering the very weak left-side defence. Was it the left-side defence? Yeah, of right-side defence, if you're from New South Wales's perspective. Of James Roberts and Josh Addo-Carr, of Tom Trbojevic on the right side, and then they peppered the left side as well with Latrell Mitchell and Josh Addo-Carr. So on both occasions, they found a lot of space going through some very sort of hesitant positional play there by the inexperienced wingers and centres. James Roberts in particular had a bit of a shocker. They peppered his side quite a bit, and he was found wanting a few times in defence, and didn't really make up for it. But look, despite that, the Blues sort of regained the lead. Never really looked like losing until towards the end when there was a sin bin. James Roberts, unfortunately, the villain again, being sin bin and leaving the Blues with only 12 players in the last, you know, I think it was with 12 minutes to go. So really, for the majority of that last 10 minutes, they were without an extra player, and that made it really tough. But you know what? I said that this is all about drama Origin, and this is where our 11 rookies or so stood up to be counted as a team. This is where you forge the team mentality, and this is where Fittler's vision has come true. And when the chips were down, when Queensland looked like they had a sniff of victory, all they had to do was get that final try in that last and a conversion in that last 10 minutes. You know, they pulled out all stops, and they kept coming at us, and we kept resisting and repelling all of the attack. We kept repelling. Callum Ponga almost scored a fantastic try, but for, a great cover tackle by James Tedesco and Josh Addo-Carr. A classic tackle, Scott Sattler style, by Nathan Cleary on Valentine Holmes, who broke through the defence. And because of his amazing tackle, Valentine Holmes tried to keep the ball alive, passed it straight back to Tommy Trbojevic, and that attack was dealt with very efficiently by the Blues. So, you know, overall, my summary of what I saw was, you know, it was the birth of a new era you know, a new team was born. They really stuck together as a team. Fittler's kind of, you hear a lot about Fittler's cultural change. You know, good players first, good people first, good players second. There's a lot of talk about that. You see a lot of media articles about that. And you could tell that this is what happens when you these were the fruits that were born out of that mentality. He has forged this team, you know, with the right principles in mind, not trying to get that quick win, trying to look at the long vision, and it paid off in his first two games. Freddie Fittler is 100% winning coach at Origin level. Keep that in mind. And actually, I would think that based on that, they are favourites to get a clean sweep this year as well. Look, that's my thoughts on the game. A really high-quality game. A lot of people on social media will go on about Ben Hunt making some mistakes, but fear not, because I think all of those claims are a bit unfair. I think Queensland had many, many chances to win this game, and New South Wales did as well, and in the end, they were the better team, and that's what it boils down to. And in the past, we've had to give credit to Queensland where credit was due. There was no way around it, no other way to say it. New South Wales Blues were the better team this year, and they deserve to win the series, and it feels good. Tish, what about you? What are your thoughts on it?
Okay, well, look, firstly, I think it was a great game. Look, I really thoroughly enjoyed Game 1 this year. I thought Game 1 was a fantastic game. Great spectacle, great atmosphere, everything that you wanted Origin to be with all these debutants playing. And I think, you know, even though Queensland dominated in the forwards, I think New South Wales, their backline dominated, and they just felt like they had a bit more than what Queensland had. And it was a great game. Game 2, it was definitely a step above Game 1. It went to a newer level than what Game 1 was this year. And I've got to say, look, you know, when I was watching the game, I was very nervous, a lot more nervous than probably what I could think of when watching Game 1. I thought that Billy Slater was showing his true class throughout the whole game, really. Queensland looked so much more dangerous with him, and it was fantastic. I also have to give a big rap to Kalyn Ponga on his debut. Came out there, compare him to, say, a Peachy, who has played less Origin minutes but double the amount of Origin games. You know, he's had the two, and Kalyn's had the one. But, you know, when Queensland sort of debut a player, they really let them have a go. And Kalyn Ponga certainly showed, you know, he didn't even show any nerves. There was a couple of flick passes and a couple of, you know, some random acts of just, you know, greatness on the level. It was great. And, you know, he's a fullback and he was dominating. So I thought that was fantastic. So, look, I think Queensland certainly improved. And then, you know, New South Wales, they looked a bit more vulnerable in their defense because of the Billy Slater attack. But, look, I think that overall, they also all went up to a new level. You know, I was looking at the statistics of the actual game. The actual possession, 50% New South Wales and 50% Queensland, right? It was dead on. And, you know, total sets, 36 New South Wales, 41 Queensland. Queensland had the more running meters, and they also made more tackles, right? So, kind of come to be weird there, right, sort of thing. But, you know, New South Wales, they'd conceded more penalties. They actually showed more errors. They had a sin bin. And they were able to just show their grit, determination to win the game. And I think that that's what's happened. And the reality is, basically what happens in Origin always happened in this Origin game, and that is the team that can actually manage the game the best end up winning. I think it could be said that potentially Queensland actually played better than New South Wales in this game, and I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. I think that's probably fair, but I think New South Wales managed the game better. Even, you know, I think the sin bin kind of helped them in a way because it kind of helped them focus a little bit on what they need to do, focus them on possession. They weren't throwing the risky passes. I know Latrell Mitchell made a couple of, you know, just, you know, he did a few silly things. He did a lot of great things, don't get me wrong, but he also made a couple of silly decisions. But suddenly that went out of the game when the sin bin occurred. So I think that was fantastic. I think Nathan Cleary really did well. There was a couple of times in attack he didn't know who to pass the ball to, so he just took it up, which was kind of a little interesting. But then he came in that cover defense, had a brilliant time, and I think that you know, some of the ends, both him and Maloney definitely controlled where Queensland received the ball from every set. So I think they did some phenomenal work. The big controversy, obviously. Well, I don't know. I haven't heard too many people talk about it, but I'd certainly want to talk about it. And look, I bleed blue. I'm a New South Wales supporter, so, you know, and I'm so glad that we've won the series. But I have to say, I don't understand the penalty try. I just don't understand it. I went through the rule book a couple of times, and the reality is there is no certainty that Mr. Cordner was going to get to the ball. I mean, yes, it looked likely, but I don't think there was any certainty, and I don't know how they could say that basically that penalty, you know, if it weren't for that penalty, the try wouldn't have been scored. I think there was just too much air between where the ball landed and where Mr. Cordner was hit to make that decision. And then, you know, like where James Roberts was sin binned, that was a very similar incident, and that caused the sin binning. And I thought to myself, when that occurred, I mean, like, whoever James Roberts took out, there was no way he was going to get the ball because I think Trevoy had it covered. So there was probably no need to do that.
Yeah.
But then I thought, okay, well, James Roberts got a sin bin. Why wasn't the Queensland player sin binned? Is it because they gave the penalty try? And then that doesn't make sense to me. It's like, well, you know, it's kind of the same thing.
No. But I got to disagree with you there.
All right, explain it to me.
I'll explain to you. So I think both decisions were correct. So first, the Boyd Cordner one. Well, actually, correct, but there was one. I agree with you in one thing, that the Queenslander should have been penalised. So the Boyd Cordner one, he was absolutely in the clear. There was no one else within cooee of him, and that's kind of what the referee said to, I think, Greg Inglis, who was questioning that they had a player. I don't remember who it was. Probably Will Chambers, I think. But if you look at the replay, you can see that Cordner is running full pelt, and the nearest Queenslander has his back turned and has to still turn around. By the time he got nudged and pushed and completely pushed off balance, he would have already been behind all Queensland players. So he would have been on his own. He was already at speed. And they made a judgment call that he would have beaten whoever to the ball. Now, the next question is...
And then put the ball down because he's never dropped the ball.
The next question is, what happened with the ball? So, did the ball bounce towards the try line? No, it actually sat up very cleanly. And I think by all judgment, and the timing of it was such that... Had he continued running, he would have caught it on the full and just had to fall over and score. And I think, and no one would have been near him. So I think this was a clear example of where a penalty try should be awarded, because and it is, it's not based on certainty. Oh, well, he certainly would have got the ball down. You will remember the 1999 grand final. I certainly do, where Jamie Ainscoe, took out a Melbourne Storm player who was about to kind of put the ball down, and by taking him out, basically knocked the ball loose. And the decision was made to give the penalty try in the sense that that player would have planted the ball down. It would have been a legit try, but he prevented that and committed a professional foul in doing so. So that you know, fast forward 20 something years, you know, that's kind of we haven't seen too many examples of that, but this to me is a clear example of, you know, a judgment has been made by the bunker and by the referee that the Boyd corner would have got to the ball, and the ball was bouncing in such a way that it wasn't, you know, it kind of gave you a sense of greater certainty that it's set up in such a way that he would have caught it. It would have just been an easy catch and then fall down and an easy try. The Queensland one, on the other hand, the one that led to, you know, James Roberts being sin-binned, was probably a lot more contentious because, as you said, Tommy Trbojevic actually got the ball, and there's no guarantee that the Queenslander would have got there first. And so, therefore, you can't really give the penalty try at all. The most you could do is to say that he was obstructed. And that's exactly what they did. And then they sim bin James Roberts, which is exactly what they should have done. No arguments from me. But I do agree with you that in the incident with Boyd Cordner, the Queensland player that pushed him out of the way probably should have been penalised as well. Now, I'm not sure if there's anything in the rules that says since you give something, you know, of a higher value, therefore whatever. But the way I see it, professional foul is a professional foul, regardless of what it leads to.
That's exactly right. So if because I suppose that's the trickiness of the whole situation, right? For one, you've given a penalty try, and said that and had it sin bin the player. Then on the other go, you've actually sin bin the player, but haven't given the penalty try. And is it like does penalty try mean that, you know, if somebody gets a head high tackled, or something like that, you know, or speed tackled into a try or something like that, that the heinousness of the penalty, you know, like, well, because the penalty is sort of, you know, like the penalty try is punishment enough. Is that what it's trying to say? Up, you know, I don't understand.
No, I don't, how that works. I think they probably just didn't think to do it. And so maybe that's what the case is. It wasn't foul play. It was more about professional foul. And so, maybe in that case that is the decision. But yeah, you're right. If he took his head off, he would have probably been on report as well. It's not like as if they would have said, "Nah, we've given a penalty try. Let's not punish the fella anymore." You know, like that wouldn't have been a logical argument there. So I think that's why they did it in that case. But
Well, NRL Laws and Interpretations 2018. All right, page 58, penalty try. Are you ready?
Oh, here we go. All right.
Okay, the referee, then in brackets, or review officials may award a penalty try if, in his opinion, so, you know, they're not going to hire a female, by the way, a try, this is an official document, a try would have been scored, but for the unfair play of the defending team. A penalty try is awarded between the goals a post, irrespective of where the offence occurred, right?
Yeah.
So I suppose the controversy is that because the referee gave it a no try. Okay. Yeah. So in his opinion, it wasn't a try, if that's what that means, right? But then the review official was basing the decision thinking that it was a try. Is that, you know, because the actual says that it's if in his opinion, he thought that the unfair play of the defending team. So, yeah, look, I'm not 100% convinced. I just go back to what I always say about this sort of stuff. Regardless of what the rule book says, for me, a try is when somebody puts the ball down and scores a try physically.
Oh, you're a bit old school there, Tish.
I am, but, like, you know, like anything else, like, you know, sort of, in these moments, I think just sort of, you know, take the shine a little bit away from the win. Look, but that's the decision failed New South Wales way. Jonathan Thurston said that it was the correct decision. So, you know, and he's a Queenslander, that's fine. And, you know, if you do remember, Queensland also got over the line in the first few moments as well. And it was like the most marginal, one of the most marginal, very similar to the Jared Hayne. I actually was thinking about that Jared Hayne.
Exactly,
ball out sort of thing. But look, that's the drama of Origin, and that's the pressure that these officials are in, aren't they? These decisions, you know, are sort of life and death sort of scenarios.
I don't know almost. About that, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but very, 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 oh, well, yeah, we're not talking about soccer here, I suppose. Well, they are great, like, you know, very, very highly, and that's what just adds to the drama. So, but look, congratulations to Brad Fillon. Congratulations to the New South Wales Blues. An amazing performance in the first two games. When people talk about, is this a new era of rugby, of State of Origin? I think the clear answer is yes. And I'm not saying it's a new era just because New South Wales will dominate or anything like that. I'm saying it's a new era because there's been a lot of debutantes, and I think all these debutantes have shown that they're up for this level from both camps. So I think this is the season that we've had the turnover from one generation to the other. It's like State of Origin, the new generation. And I think the new era is really exciting, you know, to see some of these players from New South Wales, and I think some of these players from Queensland as well. So to play in Origin. We've got one more game. Dr. T, do you think the Blues will go... do you think it will be Blues whitewash this year?
I think it will be a clean sweep, and I think... you know, because I think Freddie's you know, policies of selection have been justified already. And a lot of people, again, on social media, a lot of the feedback is that, look, Freddie, you know, even Laurie Daly picking his team of from last year would have beaten this Queensland team. I'm not so sure, because I think, you know, it's not just about the changeover with the loss of three great players from Queensland. It is also about the fact that, you know, New South Wales has pressed the reset button as well, not just Queensland. And they really haven't really pressed the reset button. I mean, you know, you've got, look at one, I'll just give you one example of a matchup that occurred that would never have occurred if things had kept going the way they were going with the New South Wales selections. And that's Latrell Mitchell playing all over Will Chambers, the current Australian centre, for two straight games. You know, Will got one over him with a missed tackle. You know, Latrell's got to work on that. But overall, Latrell played all over the top of him, you know, in this game and the last game. And that's just an example of how we would never have seen that otherwise. And Queensland still has a lot of experienced players. They've got a lot of the incumbents from the Australian Kangaroos squad. And yet Freddie went with a completely new team, 11 debutants, biggest in number in history. If that doesn't send a clear message that we wanted to press the reset button, on the way we do things, I don't know what will. You know, there was only one player, Boyd Cordner, I think, who was present when the Blues last won a series victory in 2014. I believe, I may be incorrect, but I believe he's the only player that survived from that era. So that tells you something about the nature of what Freddie has done. And yes, a lot of those players are kind of, you know, getting on a bit in age. Robbie Farah as well has seen that, you know, in his the way he's kind of lost his first grade spot, you know, whereas only last year, and, you know, he was a hooker for New South Wales. So, you know, that sort of shows you that we're already dealing with a few players that were going out a bit in terms of their career. But still, a decision was made, and that's it. So I would say, yes, it is a new era. And it's a new era. It's an exciting new era. And I could say for the first time in a long time, Tish, my general feeling so far is that, you know, he's picked the best players. He's picked form players. Not all of them, you know, played well. I mean, Jimmy Roberts didn't play well. But you've got a level of confidence that, look, there's no one else you'd rather put in there. You know, all he's got to do is he's got to improve. So let's stick with him. Obviously, if he continues to fail, and that goes for anyone, then you'd have to look at, well, are they the right player? I mean, if they continue to fail at that level, you make a decision then. But my summary of how I felt this year for the first time in a long time, Tish, is that I have not felt frustrated watching the New South Wales Blues team this year at all. I felt like, Yeah, they haven't always made the right decision, but I always felt like, you know, we weren't selfish. We played for each other. You know, our constant complaints about Mitchell Pearce's midfield bombs and Paul Gallen taking three hit-ups and not passing it to anyone in a single set, you know, and not getting us anywhere, you know, the back's not getting the ball and et cetera, et cetera. You know, we had none of that this time around. And I think as a Blues fan, you know, that tells me that we are on the cusp of a new era, if nothing else, regardless of the results. So that's my final thoughts on it. I'll let you have a final say on what you saw in game two.
Yeah, look, specifically for New South Wales, Brad Fuller, I like the philosophy, I like the change. I don't think a Laurie Daly selected squad would have, he's done more than just select a good team. I think he's also created a really good team dynamic within the playing group. They all want to play for each other. They all seem, it doesn't seem like anybody is above or beneath anybody else, if that made sense. Where I think in past years you had sort of, you know, the leadership core and you had like this player and that player and, you know, like all the youngsters and sort of thing, where I think this year everybody's kind of gone, you know what, we're all in it, we're all in the same situation. Let's all play together to try and get the best out of each other. I think that's what the team has done. If you think about the team itself, I think it's actually been simplified a little bit. You know, his selection for the forwards has been forwards that could sort of dominate Queensland. He hasn't gone for the X factor in his forwards. You know, a forward, a playmaking forward or anything like that. I mean, I know some of these players do have the skill to do that, but if you watch the way they've played, you know, they've got a job to do, and that's what they need to do first before they move on, and then leave it to the backs to create the danger, and, you know, leave it to Cleary and Maloney to finish off the sets, put Queensland in the position you want them to sort of start off in the sets, you know, even run. They ran the last play quite a lot of times, even when like there wasn't a try opportunity, but more just to make sure that Queensland start off a set, you know, not with any sort of running momentum. So I think that they really played well, played a good strategic game, and you know, they played tough. And I think that this time, you know, like Queensland, they came really, really close. And, you know, maybe in Lane Park, you know, Queensland are going to move up a level. And I think New South Wales need to realise that they probably need to move up another level too. And, you know, game three is probably going to be an absolute blockbuster, despite New South Wales already winning it. But it's great to see. And look, 2018 Origin, it's been great. And I think it's been good to see all these new players changing over for both teams. And I think Brad Fittler, like the pig and stick, I think he will do that, but I feel that he's also not afraid to sort of make the changes as well. And I don't know if necessarily, look, I could see him making changes obviously from injury, but I think he will make changes down the track in other series to come if he feels that, you know, there were some players that didn't perform. Of course, with game three, what do we, you know, do we expand the player group? Do we add some you know, fringe players into the mix because we're already on the series? You know, a couple of questions to be answered, but look, great game, and you know what, look, although the weekend, it will take getting used to having a weekend State of Origin game, but I like the idea of having all these internationals and the State of Origin on a standalone. You know, and I hope that the game will get to a time where we actually have three weekends where we have State of Origin on a standalone with some internationals mixed in and some representative matches for Women's Rugby League. If we had three of these every year, I would not complain. I think it's actually a step in the right direction, but that's my thoughts. So,
yeah,
State of Origin 2018 game two. What a game.
Exactly. And look, before we move on, just quickly, Boyd Cordner, I think, was named man of the match. I disagree with that. I just was wondering, what were your thoughts on who was the best player on the field? Doesn't have to be a New South Welshman necessarily, but who do you think played the best?
Oh, look, from Queensland, I think you got to pick either Billy Slater or actually Callum. No, probably Billy. I think Billy was a real difference maker. To me, in man of the match, the most valuable player of the game, you know, it's kind of hard to say, but I would have to say that New South Wales couldn't win game one without the effort of James Tedesco. He really played above and beyond everybody.
Yeah.
I think for game two, I think the guy is Jimmy Maloney. I don't think New South Wales could win without James Maloney and just how he managed the team for the whole 80 minutes. So I would actually have him as man of the match. What about your thoughts, T?
I'd have to disagree. Not by much, though. I think the difference in this match, and you referred to this very astutely in game one, in your game one analysis, that the Blues forwards were monstered by the Queensland forwards. And this is where I think we stepped up our game this time around. And I think you've got players like Jack DeBellin really stepped up. And not only that, from the bench, Paul Vaughan, as soon as he came on,
momentum
changed. Now, it's probably hard to give man of the match to an interchange player who hasn't played the full game, but his impact was as good as anyone else in terms of influence on the game. And yes, I agree that Billy Slater had an influence. Couldn't stop Paul Vorden talking about it in the first 8 minutes or 10 minutes of the game about what a difference he made and all that kind of stuff. I don't personally think that it was him that made the major difference. He had a bit of an influence, but I think the real difference was the fact that they just attacked the weakness of the New South Wales defense. I mean, really, he didn't really create anything. It was more just the fact that he just passed it along the back line. So I think the team knew what they had to do. But yeah, I think from Queensland's perspective, Callum Ponga definitely had the biggest influence. I think just when they were down and out, he created some. He was the most dangerous, without doubt. And finally, I would say, you know, that I guess I would go perhaps Jack DeBellin. I think as a forward, or maybe Jake Trbojevic. As well, when he came on, he's that you know, ball-playing forward that you were referring to. And he, again, you know, got the go forward and did what he needed to do. Again, very dangerous from a New South Wales perspective. So I think either of those players, Jack DeBellin or Jake Trbojevic or Paul Vaughan, probably deserved it in my mind. I don't think Boyd Corner had a great game. I think a couple times he was actually caught on the fifth tackle. And I kind of thought, what are you doing? I understand it's a tactic to not give them the ball back and an extra tackle, but, you know, by kicking the ball or kicking it, you know, too deep in goal, etc. But I thought that he gave away those sets very cheaply without really putting up a fight. And so that was a bit disappointing. I think that kind of took the shine a bit off his performance. But yeah, look, James Maloney, yeah, very important as well. So I don't mind either way, but yeah, interesting. We both disagree with the Channel 9 commentators, so there you go.
Absolutely.
All right, let's move on to the tips for round 16. So here we go. All right, round 16, back into the NRL. Dragons versus Eels. I have to stick with the Eels.
What? All right, well, look, Dragons for mine.
Well, you know, if last is going to beat first, it's going to be post-origin. This is the time to do it, Eels. Let's do it.
Do the Dragons have any players that are stuck? Oh, maybe. Wait, I just thought about their number one player actually playing for England, right?
He might not be available. He'd be back by now.
Yep. Okay.
Warriors versus Sharks. Warriors for mine.
Look, I think the Sharks are in form. I'm going to tip the Sharks in this one.
Roosters versus Storm. Roosters.
Ooh, tough game, but look, you know, Cameron Smith is well rested, so I'm picking the Storm.
Panthers versus Seagulls. I think the Panthers will win this one.
Yeah, Panthers for mine. Need to get their. I think they lost last week, so get their mojo back.
Knights versus Bulldogs, and normally would be a tight one, except for the fact that the Bulldogs have had a bit of changes recently with Moses Mbai going, and of course the latest news is Aaron Woods going to Cronulla. So
yeah, look.
So yeah, bit of turmoil there in the Bulldogs. I'm tipping the Knights.
Look, I'm tipping the Knights as well. Look for Callum Pogan to have a great, great game after his performance. You know, move to another level, I say.
Broncos versus Raiders. I'm tipping the Raiders in a bit of an upset.
Look, I'm going to tip the Broncos to consolidate their top eight position.
Tigers versus Titans, and the Tigers are getting Robbie Farah and Moses Mbai. So, interesting to see what that will do to the side, but I'm tipping the Tigers.
Look, yes, absolutely. I'm tipping the Tigers too. This game is at Leichhardt. It's been a while since we've been at Leichhardt, so look for Tigers to be absolutely, a great day for Tiger Town.
Hopefully it will be a sunny day. Nothing worse than a rainy, cold day on at Leichhardt Oval. I can attest to that. It's not fun. Rabbitohs versus Cowboys. I'm tipping the Rabbitohs.
Ooh, look, no, you know what? Not tight at all. The Rabbitohs were mine. Very simple. because look, I think that the Cowboys, you know what, like, if the Eels can get a couple wins, we could even see the Cowboys finish up on the wooden spoon. I don't think that they've been that great at all this season, and I really don't know how they're going to turn it around either. So, look, yeah, Rabbitohs for mine in this one. They're a top three. I think they're equal first, actually, aren't they, the Rabbitohs? So,
no, I think the Dragons are out ahead. On clearly by 2 points, but yeah, very interesting. But look, I probably forgot to mention actually that given in the rep round, I got 4 out of 5 correct, and you got 1 out of 5. So I've almost caught up. You're on 66, and I'm on 65 points. So you know, I've almost caught up. So every tip counts from now on, there, Tish.
Oh, absolutely! I've got to get more thinking. Maybe I'll do a bit more Tai Chi and yoga or something. Come back with a new strategy to leap out in front again.
Fair enough. All right. Well, that wraps up our podcast. We've had fun and enjoyed the rep round. Obviously, we could talk for hours, but we're not going to. Look. Make sure to join us next time on the Rugby League Republic. Catch us at iTunes, Facebook, on our website. Download as many of our episodes as you can and enjoy. And let us know. Just send us an email, rarepublic@gmail.com. Send us an email if you've got any ideas of what we should be doing. What do you want to hear more of? Let us know. Give us your feedback, and we'll do our best to sort of incorporate that and improve it so that you can get the most out of our podcast. So, Tish, over to you to wrap this up.
Well, thank you very much for that, Dr. T. And look, thank you all for listening to this show. But unfortunately, that's all the time that we have on this episode of the Rugby League Republic. We are your hosts, Tish and Dr. T. Join us next time on the Rugby League Republic. Bye for now.